Eat that. Eat that. Eat that. Eat that.
All right, Pat Bostick telling Cincinnati student section, eat that. And it is 7:05, time to get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more in the Fan Morning Show, as always, and we're proud of it. Brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Pat Bostick with me now. Doran's sick today. The hope, take some time off. Hopefully he's back tomorrow, but sure as bleep, get back in time for Saturday at 3:30. Kind of a big game. It's always a big game. This one feels particularly large. A lot going on at Pitt, and we will get into all that. I guess, Pat, I can't just do all that and then have you not comment on any of those things. First of all, you gave it to those Cincinnati fans. We've been playing that all week. It's hilarious.
They were using the West Virginia refrain.
Yeah, that's low rent by them. Low rent. That's our thing. It's not that it's particularly creative when we do it anyhow.
Yeah, but it's proprietary, I think, right?
Yes.
I think it's proprietary to WVU, and they were – I couldn't wait. I mean, when the comeback was final, I couldn't wait to toss it right back at them.
You were probably sitting on that because you could feel that game. You could feel the game turning. You could feel the momentum building. And so you're probably thinking, Pat, okay, you pull up the box score of the old game. I heard you say that at the end of the broadcast, and you're just probably, let's go, let's get this thing, because if we do, I know exactly what I'm saying at the end, and I'm saying, eat that. And I happened to listen to the entire fourth quarter.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I did have it in the can.
You were
ready. I had it in the can. I was ready to go. It's a heck of a comeback. It was fun. It was.
You're telling me.
It was a heck of a comeback. We had a lot of fun on that trip, and it was made more enjoyable by the fourth quarter. It was I've never been a part of a comeback like that, so particularly calling the game made it, you know, stressful, but kind of always felt like they were just there.
Yeah.
And it turned, and then everything seemed to kind of go as planned as the game went on, and I think they can glean a lot from that in terms of confidence.
I want to talk about the Steelers quarterback situation, and we will, but before we do, the way I'd look at it, if I were in your position, I don't know if you agree or not, is I would rather that have happened than Pitt goes into Cincinnati and wins 40-12 or something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
You show mettle, your quarterback doesn't play particularly great in the first half, and that might be being nice. He's elite in the second half, uses his legs in the second half, didn't seem to step in anything in the wrong direction in the second half. I think that gut check kind of win can mean so much for a football team the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most obvious thing is you never feel like you're out of a game. I mean, when you're able to score fast like that, you know, in succession and get stops and feed off each other and, you know, still overcome some adversity. I mean, things weren't great in the beginning of the fourth quarter. You know, you shank a punt and everything just, I think Larry said, when it rains, it pours, and it was pouring. But when you're able to stem the tide, and even watching some of the clips in the video that came out this week from the sideline, this didn't seem to be the panic that you may have seen in years past, knowing that this offense could just jump out of its shell at any point, and it did. And I think that just gives everyone confidence that regardless of the circumstance in the game, there's a chance that you're going to come back and win. And when you have that belief, you play differently. You don't play desperate. You don't play out of control. And I think we saw that from this team, whereas, you know, maybe in years past, last year for that matter, you would have seen the momentum still going the other direction.
There's nothing like the low-risk pass that turns into the home run.
Yeah.
This Jordan Reed seems to be pretty okay.
Yeah.
Pretty decent, that guy. And, man, Pat, like, you're a baseball team.
Yeah.
And you got the 3-run homer in your bag.
Yeah.
You never feel like you're out of a baseball game.
Right.
That's what that kid looks like to me. He is unbelievably electric. And I thought so watching him the first game, and you knew beforehand.
Yeah.
You were singing his praises prior to the show last week. This guy, he looks like a special player.
Yeah, I mean, Desmond led the FCS in rushing up until he got hurt last year. And when Cade Bell got the job, I was able to access some Western Carolina film, and he was the first player that I watched that I'm like, okay, I hope we get that guy.
Well, Cade even said, I think yesterday, that he'd been recruited. When he entered the portal, there were other teams interested too.
Oh, yeah, he was going somewhere else. And obviously, the familiarity and you know, being a I'm not sure where he was going, but a power four opportunity for him. He jumped off the page. He's kind of a receiver slash running back too, so it's I'm not sure how you treat him when they motion him so much. They move him around. He's never static, so you don't get a pre-snap beat on where he is. And I think the other thing that's just with all small backs, Jaheim White's the same way for West Virginia, is they're so short that behind those oak trees up front, you just can't see them. And then all of a sudden, they pitter-pat around in the hole and find a crack. And once when they're even with you, you're gone. I mean, they are absolutely gone once they're even with you. And that's how Desmond is. And the other thing that impresses me is the physicality of his game. He will run people over. He pass protects incredibly well. I made the comparison to like a Darren Sproles. It's obvious that's an easy one. That's a layup. It's low-hanging fruit. But I think he's got NFL potential. I don't see anything that tells me otherwise other than just prove that you're durable.
What's he run, 4.3 something?
Got to be like that. Yeah. He almost hit 21 miles an hour in the game. So that's moving. That is moving.
Made the Cincinnati defender, I hate to compliment all these pick guys, made the Cincinnati defenders look like they were in quicksand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's quick. He's a really good player. And I think in college football, whether it's Pitt, whether it's West Virginia, everyone gets all enamored with 4 stars and 5 stars. And particularly now with the transfer portal and recruiting classes, high school recruiting classes getting smaller, you're going to see these guys matriculate up from FCS schools or mid-major schools to Power Four schools a lot. And, it might not look good on paper in December at signing day, but these guys can play. And you're seeing it everywhere. And I think the Pitts and the West Virginias of the world could make a lot of hay looking and combing through guys like Desmond Reed or Poppy Williams or otherwise. I mean, you look at the secondary for West Virginia. They got a bunch of guys that played, at Duquesne. I mean, there's good players out there, and they can prove at this level that they can play, and they're seasoned. It's a nice option.
It's interesting you bring up the West Virginia secondary. I think it can go two ways. You look at the Pitt offense, totally new.
Yep.
Totally different style. Talk about a Desmond Reed who was in the offense,
right?
Comes in, hits the ground running. You look at the West Virginia secondary, I think they have better players, Beanie Bishop obviously an All-American, I think they have better players in the secondary in totality than they have the entire Neil Brown tenure, but they're picking up a new system, and it's clearly taking time for them to understand, to hit their drops, to do the right things, and I think that's one of the dangers in college football now is, okay, you might want to go get the guys that you think are good. Are they a fit? And if they are a fit, how long does it take them to be a fit?
Well, yeah, particularly when you get some of them in after spring ball, because the portal period opens up after spring games, and you might pick up 3, 4, 5 guys. I mean, I watched the Albany film, mm-hmm. The Penn State game. I think things just got going the other direction.
I think the moment was too big for them. They played bad football in that.
Well,
game.
When you fumble 4 times in 2 games. In critical moments, failing a 4th-and-1, I didn't see a bad football team in that game. I also didn't see a bad defense against Albany. I kept rewinding the clips yesterday, getting ready for the Narduzzi show. The kid made great throws.
The Albany kid's pretty good.
He's a really good player.
I agree with that.
And receivers made contested catches. Aside from the post touchdown, which was just a bust. And the corner was just way out of position. I think the kid from Northwestern, I think.
Aiden Gorns. Yeah. No, that's the Duquesne kid, yeah.
Yeah, they were contested throws, and the kid made them on the move, under duress. So I don't think this secondary is as bad as it looks on paper. But they're going to have to, all the things that Neil Brown's talked about, right? Drops and alignment and technique. This is going to be the fastest they have to adjust from play to play. And I'm curious to see if Pitt can catch them in flux. And if they do, which they did against Cincinnati last week, that's when you see guys pop wide open.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the concern for West Virginia. And we're really getting in the weeds here, and I love it. And we're going to revisit the brawl, of course, with Bill Hillgrove, and then more in the 8 o'clock hour. But one more thing on that, just as I think people need this. They got the color commentator of Pitt football. They got a guy who bleeds old gold and blue over here.
Yep.
I thought West Virginia did a great job last season, when they were healthy defensively,
yep.
of lining up quick, Texas Tech came to Morgantown. Now, I think what that means, though, is you're going to get a lot of vanilla from West Virginia because it's just, okay, we know we can line up fast, but I think that if you're Cade Bell, you're probably going to know what to expect from West Virginia's defense.
Yeah, I think so. I also thought, and I still digging in a little bit, but that Koba kid last year, Lee Koba, was, I thought, highly underrated.
Mm-hmm.
In the Pitt game, I watched him pregame. He's a freak show.
He's got the look.
And he is incredibly athletic. They don't look as athletic to me at linebacker as they've looked in the past, nor quite as experienced as you had with Akoba. And that can be important. And they got the green dot now, which is, you know, can be good and bad. But I agree. I thought last year, I think defensively they've been solid.
They had a really bad year, but apart from that, they've been fine. They've been fine.
The secondary, you know, when you play in the Big 12, you're gonna give up yards, and their whole thing is to stop the run. And they won 9 football games with the worst pass coverage unit in one of the worst pass coverage units in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
But that's you got to pick your poison sometimes. They went and made upgrades in the offseason. To this point, they haven't settled in. They've played a top 10 team. And a kid from Albany, they were one-dimensional, and he just ran around and made plays. I think over time they'll settle in. This will be a new test this week, though, in terms of just all the moving parts, obviously the moment, the environment, the communication stresses that happen. But I heard you coming in. I think this game will be one that is much more like 2022 than it is like 2023. I think this has... Pat Narduzzi went like that. It has shootout written all over it.
I'm with you on that, and the over-under line reflects that as well, which is, I think, about 63.5 last time I checked. A lot more brawl talk on the way. Pat Bostic is obviously our quarterback guru as well, and seems like Justin Fields is going to start this weekend. What did Pat see out of Fields in his first game? What do we expect him to grow into in this game? We'll get to that when we come back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Spirited backyard brawl conversation during the break. We've got the voice of the Pitt Panthers, Bill Hillgrove, at 750 on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Really excited about that game, obviously. Let's talk about the Steelers for a little bit. Doran out today. Pat Bostic in with us. We're happy about that until 9 o'clock. Pat, what'd you see out of Justin Fields game one?
So, full disclosure, I was following the game from a Little League fall ball game. and I think I was able to watch it back. I was able to watch like the All-22 back. And my opinion changed a little bit because I texted you guys and said, I think looks a lot like last year. It felt like last year based on what I was seeing, right? You know, move the ball, take a sack, kick a field goal.
Yeah.
Right? Fumbled snaps, you know, some of the things we saw in the preseason. But there was more explosion to the offense. I think his mobility creates that. I think he's able to put teams and run past conflict when he exits the pocket. Certainly more so than Kenny, definitely more so than Mason Rudolph. And he made largely really good decisions. And I think that's going to be the difference in Pittsburgh for him. And I think he will start this week. I think he should start this week after what we saw last week. We've said this all along. Once he gets in there and they win a game, it's going to be hard to take him out if they keep winning. I think you'll hear some mumbling when they lose a game.
Wow, Russ is feeling great.
Right. You'll hear some smattering in the media and otherwise, but he made good decisions. He's going to get coached not to lose the game here, and that's Mike Tomlin's philosophy. That's Arthur Smith's philosophy. That's why they, I think, align. And we're going to see how he can grow and evolve in that space. And if he does, this could very much buff out the rough edges he has. And turn him into a winning quarterback. Will he be a Super Bowl contending quarterback? Certainly has the physical ability, but it's going to be up here. It's going to be mental. It's going to be decision-making, and it's going to be presence of mind and situational awareness, which I think we saw, aside from taking some sacks and trying to spin out of there, I think we largely saw a better version of Justin Fields, albeit more conservative.
I want to see them open it up for him a little bit more. Full week of practice with the ones. You can install what you want to install. You don't have to change things on the fly. He got one day a walkthrough practice last week. But I don't think they're going to do that. I really don't. You're playing a rookie quarterback. You've got an elite defense. I think you're right. It's going to be one of those Justin don't screw it up games. And I'm bummed out by that. Because you've got an opportunity here to really see what he can do. Punch it into the end zone. You could put up some points, I think, if you allowed him to be a little bit more Justin Fields. And if you saw that, I think you'd keep riding with him. What I think is going to happen, though, is it's going to be conservative. I think they're going to win the game. I think it looks a lot like last week. I think Russ will be healthy for week three, and I think Russ will probably play. That's the way I think it's going to go.
Well, I think the challenge in changing who they are is, A, changing who they are, right? Their DNA, their MO is to run the ball, to control the clock. Ever since, you know, Ben started to deteriorate and not be the player that he was and not have the cast around him that maybe he had, AB, you know, and so on, they started to shift towards probably more of what we saw from Bill Cowher Steelers and what Mike Tomlin knows, right? And that's hard to break, regardless of who you have back there. Now, I will say this. The pocket movement, the quarterback run, if Russ starts to get healthier, and let's say he's the two this week, let's throw that out there, which I don't know if that's going to be the case. If he's not right, I'm not sure they're going to make him the two. Let's say he's the two and he's more physically able to play. I'd like to see them incorporate the quarterback run more, because I think that can give this offense explosion that, and an element that, I mean, he rushed for what, 40?
He rushed for over 50.
57 yards last week. But it was, you know, there was some creativity to it. But I'd like to see that more a part of it. Because, man, you start throwing RPO and stuff like that into the game plan, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, play action, drop back seven steps and chuck it 75 yards down the field to create explosive plays. It could be made by scheme and, again, adding an element of conflict to a defense that Justin Fields brings that Russ doesn't bring. And no quarterback the Steelers have had since Cordell Stewart has brought, except Mike Vick notwithstanding. I mean, that was a short period of time, right?
But right.
He just adds that. And you see it with Lamar. You see it with other players, Anthony Richardson. They like to run the ball, find different ways to do it, you know, and get Najee and Jalen, you know, take one guy off their back by having him be able to tote the thing himself.
And that's what I'd love to see. Jalen Warren get folded in more this week, see if he's healthy, because he does have that explosiveness that Najee lacks, and Najee's good at a lot of other things. But if you have to contend with Justin Fields and Jalen Warren in the backfield, a guy that took 170-plus yards to the house last year on a couple of different occasions, that gets my mind spinning. We got Jeff Hathorn coming up next, so we're going to talk to Jeff. What's going on the offensive line at Steelers practice? We will ask Jeff. We'll see what he's able to tell us. And then we got Bill Hillgrove at 7:50 as we get back to the Backyard Brawl. Backyard Brawl this weekend. Steelers-Broncos on Sunday. Interesting practice report to come out of Steelersville yesterday. And joining us now to get into it is our sports director, our friend, a tremendous human being. He is Jeff Hathorn. Good morning to you, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, busy weekend. Fun weekend. Man, the North Shore is going to be nuts on Saturday, which is great.
Yes, it is. You got the Pirate game earlier on, and then you got the Backyard Brawl, and I'm guessing one way or another, there will be many people partying on the North Shore following the game. So we'll get into both things with you, Jeff, but I see the practice report yesterday for the Steelers. I've seen some video that came out of practice. Mike Tomlin, I thought at the press conference he said that Dan Moore Jr. would be limited at the early portion of the week. Well, he doesn't practice at all yesterday, and that was listed on the report. So what do we make of all that? And what I understand, Jeff, is we saw Mr. Broderick Jones, video showed me, at left tackle.
Yeah, you saw Broderick Jones on the left side and Troy Faltano on the right. It's, you know, how many people waited for that moment where you saw, and not just on a rep or two at camp, but you saw your two first-round picks out there at the same time. And, man, Faltano was, he was pumped. He said being on that sideline on Sunday – it has him really geeked up to get into a game. And he was moving well. He says he has no issues with the knee. And yeah, that offensive line looked, I mean, when you think about just the change they've had in a couple of weeks, you know, you lose Herbig, Samalo is probably still out. If Dan Moore is out, it's like a completely different line with the exception of James Daniels.
Jeff, the obviously the quarterback situation, it seems like Justin Fields is going to get the start. A, do you get the sense that this Russ injury could linger longer than just a couple weeks? Because obviously it's been a period of time. And B, do you think as every week goes, the likelihood of Russ supplanting Justin Fields decreases?
So I'll answer B first. Yes. Obviously it depends on the success.
Right.
But if they're winning games, even if he's not all world, but they're winning games and they're building a chemistry and they seem to be moving towards something, yes. As for the cap, I mean, here's the thing, and I'm not a doctor, but everything I hear over there is that when you have a calf, there is fear of a strained calf, there is fear of Achilles. And if you push that too quickly or too much or don't give it enough rest, which is why they gave him the rest they did in camp, there is concern that an Achilles injury would happen, which would probably take out the rest of the season. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? He might go out there, and I think what we're going to see, and as much as a veteran he is, how can he really know his body and know what's best? Because you know he wants to play in Denver. Whatever he tells us later today, you know deep down inside he wants to stick it to Sean Payton. We'll see how mobile he is, but yeah, it does seem like it's going to be Justin's team. And if he performs, here is his opportunity to get a starting gig again.
Jeff, I think Jalen Warren, off the top of my head, played 29 snaps, but statistically really didn't have much, if at all, an impact on the game. Do you think that that was more a function of he's not all the way back healthy? Or is this the way Arthur Smith's going to do it, rely heavily on Najee Harris and mix in some Cordarrelle Patterson?
Well, I think Patterson took some of those reps, but I think that was the plan for this week anyhow, is that, you know, you're coming off a hamstring injury. He was good enough to play, but they wanted to, I don't know if you could ever ease Jalen Warren into anything because of the way he plays, but I think they wanted to manage his snap count for this week. But that being said, they do like Patterson, and if they feel like Patterson is having some success, he could take snaps from either of those two. And I would also say, man, Najee ran hard. I thought he had some good, tough runs in that game. He was bringing energy. You know, like when his helmet came off, he was all about being into that game. Not that he hasn't at other times, but I think that was, you know, a good game for him, and I think that also led to the number of carries he had.
Jeff, flipping things over to the University of Pittsburgh. Big football game this weekend. I can't imagine, and you've covered the team for a long time, a more stark contrast from one year to the next in terms of the way they want to play football. Have you seen anything quite like it?
I mean, when Rich Rod came to West Virginia, there was obviously a switch, but not quite like this. I think here's what I think is different this year for Pitt offensively more than anything. To put it in like a West Virginia term, they have a Noel Devine. That's what I think the difference is. They've got that guy that can take it to the house. As much as there's the eye candy of everything that's going on and the speed they play with, they've got a game breaker. And when you have a game breaker, whether it's Izzy, Jordan Addison, when we've seen it over the years, that makes that offense completely different. And they've got a game breaker. And that's what I'm excited. Now let's see it against another defense, maybe another step up in defense, a different scheme. And this is, and you know, he's been pumped up for this. He's never really played in a rivalry game. He's going to get a full dose of it on Saturday.
I'm going to puke.
Jeff, I want to ask you this as a somewhat of an objective onlooker. You don't have you're heavily involved in Pitt broadcasting. Obviously, we appreciate all that you do, but you have allegiances that we won't speak of. But as you watch of Pitt, Penn State, and Pitt, West Virginia. Joe Starkey asked me this question. How do you rank those rivalries, having been associated with both as a broadcaster in this town for decades?
I tell this story. When I was a kid, my neighbor took me to a Penn State game. And until I was in high school, I thought the S word was spelled with two T's. So there was that time where that rivalry was it. It was Pitt, Penn State. People lived it. That being said, Pitt, West Virginia, the proximity, the energy, the fact that I think West Virginia thinks Pitt looks down their nose at them. I love this rivalry. I'd love to see all three. But if you don't have Penn State anymore and that never comes back, I think Pitt, West Virginia fills that slot nicely.
I think I agree. And the one thing I told Joe was what makes it better for me is it bleeds on the hardwood on basketball too. I mean, it is deep there as well. And you don't have that with Pitt, Penn State.
That's a really good point.
And it does, I mean, in everything. Wrestling, I mean, you've seen it in different sports.
Soccer, everything. Baseball.
Yeah. And you see it all over the place. You never know what the college landscape is going to be. I would hope that they would be in a conference again, because I think that's what got Pitt, West Virginia, you know, really going. When you're in a conference and you're battling for the same thing, that takes a rivalry, I think, up another step.
Agreed.
I'd love them to play at the end of the year, too, but
cool.
It's just good that they play it again.
Beggars can't be choosers in this world right now.
That's exactly right. Just happy it's back. Jeff, thank you for your time.
And here's what's cool, guys. I think both schools are in to this series continuing in the future.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, buddy. And we'll be talking on Tuesday about a whole heck of a lot, my man.
I'll see you both on Saturday.
Let's go. Man. We'll see you Saturday. Jeff Hathorne, our sports director. This Backyard Brawl Talk on The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. More on the Steelers at 8 o'clock, but Bill Hillgrove, voice of the Panthers, next.
Eat that.
Pitt beat Cincinnati last week. Backyard Brawl this week. Doran out today in hopes that he's healthy enough for this weekend. Pat Bostic in with us until 9 o'clock, and right now joined by the voice of the Panthers, Bill Hillgrove. And look at him. He's got the Pitt polo
on. My man.
He's ready to go. Bill, first of all, A, thank you for coming on. B, we'll get to the brawl in a second. I think legend has it you've called every single Pitt game on the radio. So where did last week's comeback stack up among all the games that you've broadcast in your career?
Pretty much near the top. I was in the booth with Ed Conway in 71 when they came back against Navy. Navy Havern hit, Les Block with the winning touchdown. The year before that, they came back against West Virginia. And I'll never forget that, because in those days at Pitt Stadium, the press would sit in the press box and they'd feed stuff from the locker room up to the press box. And over that PA system thing, you could hear the West Virginia fans calling for Bobby Bowden's head. And later that winter, Bobby appeared at the Thompson Club banquet at West Mifflin and said, "Hi, I'm Bobby Bowden. I have a new book on the shelves. It's called How to Coach the Second Half." You know, so those were two memorable comebacks for Pitt. And in this series, you know, there have been so many, you know, just unbelievable games. And one ended in a tie. Eddie Frazier kicked a field goal one year. 75, West Virginia won at Old Mountaineer Field with, I think, a guy named Bill McKenzie kicking the winning field goal. And then, of course, 2007. And if Pat McAfee ever goes big time on me, he's going to get reminded about that. And, last year, Pitt had the opportunity, the late interception on the plus side of the field, and they didn't do anything with it. And I think, unfortunately, for that offense, that was a harbinger. So it's been a fun series, and I don't see Saturday as any different. You can look at and try to analyze each team's strength. I know West Virginia can really run the ball. I mean, White averaging over 7 yards a carry, and what's the other guy's name? Donaldson. He's over 6 yards a carry, and the quarterbacks manage the game well, so it's going to be fun.
Billy, you've called a lot of backyard brawls, and it's a very emotional game. Describe some of the more memorable moments in the history of the series when maybe you felt that emotion bleed through on the air.
Well, gosh, 2007, walking out of the press box, normally, people recognizing me from television, and of course, Channel 4 is big down in Morgantown. They'd give me the razzmatazz on the way to the bus, and I was used to it. But in 2007, they were nothing but zombies. They were walking with a blank stare. It was incredibly silent. I remember in that game, Bill Frelick, the late Bill Frelick, on the air, said, "Holding? That's not holding. Trust me, I know what holding is. I made a living at it." I remember Mark Bolger coming into then Heinz Field and pretty much dominating the Panthers. Where do I not? Oh yeah, the game in '76 was interesting. I think Tony Dorsett got into a scrape and got bounced. It's hard to predict. You know, people have asked me, "What's your prediction?" Well, I don't do predictions very well, but I predict a hard-fought game that'll go right down to the last minute.
Bill, was this something you missed when it was gone, or did you only, when it came back, realized what you were missing and we were missing?
Yeah, I think if you dwell on what is not there, you're dwelling on the wrong things. I think, you know, and you know as professionals that you just worry about what you have in front of you. And so it wasn't in front of anybody, and nobody thought much about it. But, you know, I hope, and I know I'm probably, the cup half full guy. I hope that in the next seismic movement of college football landscape, that somehow West Virginia, Pitt, Penn State, Syracuse, you know, the regional rivalries will begin to return. And I know how difficult it is because different conferences have different numbers of conference games, and the scheduling is like, you know, using a Ouija board. But, you know, I hope it gets back to that because, if the money totally dictates the landscape, the rivalries will slowly disappear, and I think that's unfortunate. And people say, well, you can develop a new rivalry. No, it doesn't work that way.
It sure doesn't. Speaking from experience, I don't hate anybody in the Big 12. And I feel
exactly.
Like I should.
And I don't hate anybody in Baltimore, but I certainly hate people in Cleveland, and, you know, that's what the essence of a rivalry is.
Darn right. Bill, you're the best. Have a great call on Saturday. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. H2P.
See you Saturday, partner.
See
Bill
you, partner.
Hillgrove. The great Bill Hillgrove.
He's the best.
Both he and Jeff, who I also consider great, who have seen a lot of things in this town, both said the same thing at the end of their segments. Get these teams back in the same conference.
I wholeheartedly concur.
We're going to get back to the Steelers coming up next. I want you to react to the soundbite that I reacted to at 6 o'clock, and I wonder if we both land on the same thing.
I look forward to it.
How about that? We'll do it when we come back. Blew right through the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full term, sunchevy.com. Today, high 85.